I will lead her into solitude, and I will speak to her heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we sing the votive mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary for First Saturday in reparation to Our Lady's heart. Today the Church in her office honors the saint of solitude and of silence and of penance. He lived 1,000 years ago, Saint Bruno, and the conditions of his life and times were such that he yearned to be able to leave the world and to find some quiet. And it was only because of obedience to the Holy Father, the Pope, that he had to give that up in order still to be involved in the great affairs of the day. Saint Bruno is our saint today, and he teaches us a very important lesson for the establishment of the kingship of Christ over all of society. That is to say, that the great affairs of state, that is to say, what happens in public, I mean speeches and processions and marches and great discussions, and all of these things, while they are important and have their place, could never serve to bring about the sweet reign of Jesus Christ over souls and over society, unless we, all of us, have in our lives some solitude and some silence, and the penance, at least, which is necessary to bring those things about. That's perhaps the great lesson and the great contribution of St. Bruno just the day before the feast day of the Most Holy Rosary. It is true that the conditions of his life and time were such that, as they say, you could understand why he would want that. He was a German. There are only two Germans who founded religious orders, and he founded the great order of the Carthusians. And he was born in Cologne, but he went to one of the great French cities where he taught theology in the school, which he had founded at the city of Reims. And there he, because of his great talent and his intelligence and his piety, he was very much involved in the affairs of the church of the day, and he had occasion to oppose a very wicked man who was the archbishop. And the archbishop had bought his office, his name was Manasses, and this man threatened his life, and at some point, I believe, burned down his house. All of these were contributing factors to his leaving the world and becoming a hermit. But really, the story that is told traditionally of him is a very beautiful one, that some great priest had died, and all of the clergy were assembled for his funeral, and the office of the dead was being sung, and he was laid out in the, without a coffin, as was the custom of the time. He was laid out on the bier right in front of the sanctuary, as we do still today. And that at some point, as the office was being chanted, this man sat up and he opened his eyes and he cried out and he said, "I am accused before the judgment of God." And then he lay down again. And after the commotion, the divine office recommenced. And then at some other point, he is said to have sat up again and opened his eyes and to have said, "I am tried before the just judgment of God," and the third time he said, "And I am condemned by the just judgment of God." And this is said to have been such a great influence upon our saint. He left that diocese with all of its troubles and difficulties and went to the south of France near the Alps, and there he found St. Hugh of Grenoble, who had a vision, a dream of 7 stars coming into his diocese. So he and his 6 fellow priests were very welcome, and they founded this very strict order of hermits. Not the least of their sacrifices and penances, from our point of view, aside from the silence almost perpetual and never eating meat, was the rule that they have of getting up every night at midnight to chant the divine office and to pray for several hours. So they always interrupt their rest. So he's a good saint to pray to bless, and to encourage all of the good people of our church who so faithfully, month after month and year after year, keep their hour of adoration, who interrupt their rest one night of each month in order to keep some solitude and silence with Jesus and with Mary. But if you think of it, really, the rosary, when we recite it, whether it be in our families, here at church, or just by ourselves, the rosary is meant to be a means, you might say a little portable hermitage that you could carry with you wherever you go. It has about it, by its very nature, because it is a prayer of meditation, a requirement for silence. And that silence can never take place unless there is some solitude, some withdrawal from the noise and the activities of the world. You can't make mental prayer or meditation if you're running around doing this, that, and the other thing. And then, of course, the penance, to be able to break the routine. The penance to enter into a little bit of silence for even a quarter of an hour or half an hour, just for some quiet prayer. And yet what a benefit and what an advantage that is. Unless there is that kind of a prayer, Our Lady is quite clear on it, unless there is that kind of a prayer, there'll never be peace. Unless there is that kind of a prayer, we'll never be able to make reparation. We'll never be able to save our souls or to see our blessed Savior as King anywhere at all, unless we first see him as King in the hermitage, you might say, of our own heart. Love your rosary. Carry it with you. Use it frequently. And even in the midst of a turbulent world, which is disgusting, and from which you would like really to be able to retire, by fingering your beads for just even a few minutes, a decade or two, you can have a little bit of the silence of a Carthusian in your life. You can have it, and you must have it. None of us could possibly make it in this world unless we were at heart at least a little bit Carthusians. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.